ribeye steaks. I don't know if I mentioned that. It was ribeye steaks that Dan and I were eating at the hotel. I convinced him that ribeye steaks were the most flavorful because they had the most fat. And you know, folks, the best way to lose fat is to eat fat. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Yeah, that's right. I'm back in Pennsylvania. Windber is the name of the town, and I'm here broadcasting to you without Dan, but the plans are being made for us to be able to go to Dearborn, Michigan once every couple weeks and do these shows live, facing each other in a makeshift studio. There's nothing like that. Had a great time. So I said, yeah, if you want to lose fat, you have to eat fat. It's a weird principle, but if you starve your body of fat, it's going to store all the fat it can. But if you give it fat, because it needs fat, your brain's full of fat, your liver needs fat, your stomach needs fat, the organ of your stomach, not the stomach fat that we usually see on people that looks so unattractive. Eating fat's going to get rid of that. It's going to cause the body to shed fat because it needs it so desperately for these other organs. I'll never forget, I went on a really low fat diet, and I just wasn't losing weight, and it seems like it makes sense that if you want to lose fat, you don't eat fat. Then I was looking at the statistics of what these bodybuilders were eating, and these guys were eating tons of fat, and I was trying to get down like under 10 grams. Some of these bodybuilders were eating 100, 200, 300 grams of fat. I'm going, oh, something's wrong here, boss. And I looked into it, and I realized then, I looked into the primal diet, and the primal diet is really a great way to eat. The most weight I've lost, and the best I've ever looked, was when my diet, this is going to blow your mind, but I'm serious, my diet was 50 to 60% fat. I kid you not. Coconut oil. It's a miracle food. Whole cream. Heavy whipping cream. Made chocolate mousse out of that. Put heavy whipping cream in a blender. Add some stevia. You got yourself some chocolate whipped cream. It's fantastic. Avocados, cheese, meat. I used to dip my, you know, when I can, I dip my bacon into butter, spread butter on the steaks. And I'm telling you, you will lose weight. It's carbohydrate. I never used to believe this. I used to make fun of Atkins, and I still do, because Atkins is too heavy on the protein, not good enough on the fat. Atkins doesn't put fat in his diet. It's all protein, and you can eat too much protein. The one thing Atkins was missing that's the key is fat. So look up primal diet online and start eating eggs. I've heard somebody say there's really one thing wrong with eggs. We don't eat enough of them. Cholesterol, the whole thing is a farce, a sham about high cholesterol. They're just trying to sell you low cholesterol drugs. In fact, you know, I believe that the medical field has become institutionalized, and I put that in the same category with the educational field and the religious field. Mainstream, institutional, all wrong. If you take the standard issue food chart that you used to see in your high school health class, you know, you're supposed to eat breads and carbohydrates and fruit and all this stuff at the bottom. You remember, look, it's a pyramid, the food pyramid. And at the bottom are all these breads and starches. You're supposed to eat tons of that. And then as you go up, you eat less and less. And so fruits and vegetables, they're next. And at the way tip top of the chart, you don't want to eat much of this, is meat. The evil meat and cheese, evil eggs. Nuts were somewhere just below the summit. Okay, here's what you do. You invert that son of a gun. You just invert the whole chart and you have the truth. You eat lots of meat and you rarely eat carbs. The bad thing about carbs is the insulin, folks. Insulin is the enemy to fat burning. Whenever you release insulin into your bloodstream, it shuts down, locks up all the fat burning mechanisms you have. I don't know about you, but that irritates me. I want those suckers to burn fat. Insulin is the enemy, and it's hard to believe how finely tuned this whole thing is. In fact, you know how you used to say, man, I just think about eating a donut and I get fat. That is actually true. It's actually true. You know, Pavlov's dogs, they start to drool at the sound of a bell. Well, when you just think of a donut, you know, you start to salivate, and your body, in anticipation of the donut, starts to release insulin, which cuts down the fat burning, which starts to accumulate it on your belly. You can literally get fat by thinking about a donut. What happens when you eat the daggone thing? Well, you can only guess. And it takes so little, it's unbelievable. It's very finely tuned. So, folks, the great thing about eating this fat is that it fills you up, and you don't feel hungry, and you can eat as much as you want. I used to calorie count, man. I used to keep a card and a pen, and I'd write down every single calorie I ate. But it's not about calories. It's not about intake and output. It's about the kind of food you eat. And I'm here to tell you that fats have gotten a bad rap. And if you want to know why you get fat, read the book by Gary Taubes, T-A-U-B-S, Why We Get Fat. It's a bit of a scientific read. It's somewhat conversational. But it's very helpful, and it's so counterintuitive to think that by dipping your bacon in butter, you can lose weight. But I'm here to bring you an evangel. I'm an evangelist, and this here is an evangel of good that you can use, and you can eat all the meat you want. It's wonderful, but only if it has lots of fat. That's the tastiest part. Don't cut the fat off your meat. Eat the fat. One of these days, I'm going to show you a picture of myself without a shirt. I'm going to show you what I look like by eating 60% fat, and I'm going to make believers out of you people. All right, now we're going to get into the scripture. But I thought that was helpful. Anyway, I love doing that show with Dan. We are gnawing on the meat there, and we each got our steaks medium. We didn't pay for these steaks. Jim and Gary Best bought us a steak dinner. We just got spoiled there, and we can't, you know, usually afford to buy these steak dinners. So I said, Sheridan, you got to get the ribeye. That's got the most fat. It's the tastiest cut of meat. And he did, and he goes, that's the best steak I ever ate. In fact, he made an audio about it on his website. Go to SheridanVoice.com. Love doing that show with him. So there we are, gnawing on our meat. It looked raw because we got it done medium, so it was reddish, you know. So we I think back of that morning at 6:15 in the morning, we're staring at each other through bleary eyes. You know, he's got a 5 o'clock shadow, except it was more like a 10 o'clock shadow, and we're gnawing on this meat, and we said, let's do a show. And it was so exciting, so fun, and we're gonna do more of it. Love it. So anyway, I gotta read you some letters. I'm gonna talk more about the women. The Little Women. Now, I don't want you to think that we're saying little women heaped with sin, speaking of those who slipped into the homes of little women in the form of media, in the form of dangling these religious baubles in front of women, and they get emotional and they go for it because they're very sensitive that way. Not to say that that's a complete rule. There are exceptions, obviously. We're not categorizing every woman, nor are we categorizing every man. In fact, a woman wrote a letter. I should probably get to this one first and save these other letters for later. I got a couple of letters from people, and I know you like to hear these. I like to read them. I know you like to hear them because you like to know that there are other people like you who are benefiting from this show, and you love it, and people are writing to tell us that, and I want you to know that there are others of you out there. So a woman asked a question, and I'm not going to name her, of course, but she said, I just finished listening to Zender Special Show number 77. You and Dan kept saying that the wife should stop being the religious leader and allow the husband to work in his God-given role as the head of the family, and therefore the leader of the wife's and children's beliefs as far as God and the truth go. Now, yeah, that's what we said. But she makes an important point here, and I want to point this out to you. I have to disagree with you both. Well, if you have to, you have to. In one instance, okay, only one instance here. If both parties in the marriage are believers, then the husband should lead, okay? So she agrees with us there. However, I have the information, my husband does not. And I'm sure a lot of you wives have this problem that God has shown you the truth and your husbands are lagging behind the truth. And that's a vexation to many of you out there. And I know, and you're probably thinking, what should I do? Paul says, you know, to be subject to my husband, what do I do? Here's the question. If both parties in a marriage are believers, the husband should lead. However, I have the information my husband does not. If I allowed him to lead me in this, I might as well go back to church. I would lose all I have been given to understand. How can a believer allow a non-believer, or in my case, a semi-believer, to lead her? I cannot allow this. I don't fight with him about what I know. That's a good thing. I don't fight with him about what I know. I don't throw it in his face. See, there's the submissive qualities of a godly wife that this woman who wrote this letter is not throwing it in his face. She's not arguing. She's not usurping his authority. She's just not going to cave in her beliefs to suit him. Let me go on here. How can a believer allow a non-believer, or in my case, a semi-believer, to lead her? I can't allow this. I don't fight with him about what I know. I don't throw it in his face, nor do I belittle his position in the family. Very good. That's critical. Nor do I belittle his position in the family. I just cannot allow him to dictate what I will believe as regards God and the truth. Of course you can't. You can't allow him to dictate what you believe. How can you let a spouse, whether you're a husband or a wife, tell you not to believe in the salvation of all? I mean, that's ridiculous. Paul says these things be charging and teaching, and Paul wants us to come to a realization of these truths. So nobody can tell you not to believe these. So the subjection Paul is speaking of in Ephesians does not have to do with caving your beliefs, changing your beliefs. That's ridiculous. I'm going to give you a practical example here, or maybe an impractical one. I don't know. Perhaps you and Dan need to put in an addendum to your statements that involve a woman with a non or semi-believer. Thanks much. All right. You can't go against God. And God is not going to make you disbelieve. He's not going to give you somebody to make you disbelieve. The government cannot make you disbelieve. They can make you toe the line. They can make you stop meeting. They can limit your motion, your activity, as they did to the Apostle Paul. But could the Roman government keep the Apostle Paul from believing what he believed? Of course not. Nor do they want to. They just want to prevent civil unrest. And members of the body of Christ should be the most civilly obedient people in the country. So this is not about going against God. Can't make you disbelieve. Now, you know, what if your husband came to you and said, while I'm at work, I want you to kill all the children and I want to see them lined up dead on the living room floor when I get home from work. You're not going to do that because it's against what God has to say in his word. So you have your conscience here. The way Clyde puts it is, it's a difference between submission and obedience. You submit, and obedience, as far as how we understand it, as far as I'll do whatever you say, that's not what we're looking at here. Although Dean Huff really had a good point, when the Concordant uses the word obey, Dean Huff, of course, being the translator, he's finishing what A.E. Nock started in translating the Old Testament. Oh, by the way, look for my blog tomorrow. I'm going to give you the lowdown on what happened in Michigan. So Dean is translating, and he is also the editor of Unsearchable Riches magazine, but Dean doesn't really like the translation obey. The elements there are under here. The elements in the Greek for the word translated obey, the English elements of the Greek word are under here. UNDER-HEAR, two-part Greek word. It means to hear, to understand it, to come to a realization of it. Because Paul says, you know, obey the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obey the teaching. Obey grace. How do you obey grace? How do you obey a teaching? You hear it and you heed it. And this is what is meant by wives, obey your husbands, although it's be in submission, submit. It's not this slavish, I'll do whatever you say, yes, master, like I dream of Jeannie. Yes, master. Brink. Whatever. No, it's not that at all. It's the fact that you're hearing and you're understanding and you're giving your husband the respect due him, as this woman is doing who wrote this. I don't throw it in his face, nor do I belittle his position. I just cannot allow him to dictate what I will believe as regards God and the truth. And that's true. So now we come to the issue of going to church. I'm running long here. Sorry. Going to church. Now, would you go to church? That's the question. If your husband says, I want you to go to church, you know how I feel about church. I think you might as well set your family in the middle of the highway, the middle of the interstate. Church is extremely dangerous, intense spiritual warfare. And I think to protect your own spiritual life, you need to not go to church. Now, husbands are getting nervous here. I thought I was the master of my home. Well, as the master, you're supposed to lead in love. You're supposed to give your life for your wife. But again, that doesn't include caving to her every whim. You, ideally, you know, you are the ones that have the truth. And when Dan and I were talking about this, our context was men who know better, men who know what the truth is, but because their wife wants to go to the church, then they just go along with it and they become sucked into it themselves. That was the context, men who know better. And the passage in 2 Timothy is about those who are part of the system. And so those who are part of the system should come out of the system. And if husbands see that the system is evil, they need to help bring their wives out of the system. All right, and I know this causes great conflict, and this calls for much prayer, but couples can work this out, and they should. They all have the Spirit of God. Go to God in prayer, talk these things out, seek the Scripture, and wives, be subject to your husbands in these spiritual matters. But yes, husbands, love your wives and give yourself up for her. That's one of the keys here for sure. So husbands are getting nervous, I know. They say, well, Martin, where's my authority? What about sex? What if my wife said she only wants to have sex, you know, once every 3 months? What do I do then? Well, that's a case where God says your body's not your own. You see what I'm saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 7? Your body's not your own. The husband's body belongs to his wife, which I think is pretty sexy, and the wife's body belongs to her husband. So there you have it. You're to not withhold from each other. That's a command of God. So if a wife resists that, she's not only resisting the wise intention of her husband, but she's also resisting the wise intention of God. This church thing, however, is a different matter, because it's not the intention of God for us to get tangled up in religion of any sorts. All right. I'm going to read you a couple of letters tomorrow. Can't wait for that. And again, look at my blog tomorrow. I'm going to work on that in the morning. I'm going to talk to you about and show you some photos of the great young men we met in Michigan, Ann Arbor, and in Dearborn. I'm going to show you pictures of Dean Huff. I'm going to show you photographs of the original scriptures of A. E. Nock when he translated the concordant version of the Old Testament. I saw it with my own two eyes, and you will see it with your own two eyes as well.